Good afternoon, everyone. Let's get started. We appreciate everyone braving the lovely afternoon to be here for this really important discussion. And with no further ado, let me turn it over first to Commissioner Fish, and I'll have some additional comments myself.
Thank you, Mayor. We have a very full schedule for the afternoon. We'll jump right into it. I'd like to begin this afternoon by thanking my colleagues for making time for this important discussion. The mayor and I first proposed establishing an independent Blue Ribbon Commission to consider potential reforms as a debate over a proposed water district was unfolding in our community. The ballot measure, 26-156, was defeated by a margin of 3-1 last May. But during the debate, we heard from many Portlanders that council needed to do a better job with oversight of our two public utilities. I agreed, and the mayor and I committed that after the election, we would convene an independent group of technically expert, practical-minded, really smart community members to tackle the question and give us the benefit of their best thinking. And here's specifically what we asked them to do. The Portland City Council directs that an independent commission convene from July to November 2014 to analyze potential reforms of the oversight and accountability of the Portland Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services, and then report to the City Council. The Commission will focus on streamlining communications and transparency in the rate-setting process. We asked former U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton to lead the effort, and Dwight brought exactly the right balance of leadership, thoughtfulness, and the ability to bring people together to forge consensus on a complex and charged issue, just as he did balancing civil rights and security during his tenure as U.S. Attorney. Christine Chin Ryan, a leading voice on small business issues and founder and president of Synergy Consulting, agreed to serve as vice chair. We'll hear from the distinguished members of the commission later, but I do want to take a moment to thank each of you for your extraordinary commitment that you have made to this process. We ask you to do a lot of work on a very tight schedule because this council is serious about reform and the time to act is now. It is vitally important to the mayor and to me that we have a new oversight structure up and running in time for the council's next budget cycle. And we recognize that implementing the recommendations before us is going to be a very heavy lift for our teams over the next 8 months. Commission members have digested and synthesized a tremendous amount of information over the past few months. As they introduce themselves, I'd like to have each of you share with us something new that you learned or something that surprised you during your service. A number of thank yous. I want to thank the teams at the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Water Bureau who provided information, answered questions, and helped the Commission learn the language of city utilities. I want to thank my team, in particular Sonia Schmansky and Jim Blackwood, who were instrumental in this process. Finally, I would like to thank our facilitators, Jim Owens and Bob Wise of Kogan Owens Kogan. They worked diligently with our chair and with each commission member to help build the proposal that is before us today. So here's how we've structured this work session. We'll first hear from our distinguished chair, vice chair, and facilitator. Next, from commission members who will ask to introduce themselves and share some comments. Then we'll ask Jim Owens, Chair Holton, and Vice Chair Ryan to walk us through the Commission's process and the recommendations that are before us. We'll have plenty of time for discussion. And before we close, we'll ask Dwight to describe the Commission's next steps to put the ribbon, no pun intended, on this process. Sonia wrote that. I resisted, but she outranks me. Finally, I'll be asking each of my colleagues for their initial impressions of this proposal. With that, it's my honor to turn it over to Mayor Hales.
Thank you, Commissioner. I want to start by thanking all of you for taking on this big volunteer task, and we're looking forward to talking about your report this afternoon and having this discussion. I want to reflect back a little bit on a couple of things that Nick just said. One, think about that political collision over the ballot measure. there were very legitimate reasons for Portland voters to turn that down. But there are also legitimate concerns and fears and criticisms that I think you took to heart. And we want to make sure that what we come up with in terms of reform is a responsible response to a responsible criticism. There are irresponsible criticisms, and there are responsible ones, you know, and there's a mixture out there. And so we want to respond, as I said. These are two bureaus, as you know, and as your inquiry, I suspect, has helped remind you, that have done great things and have accomplished a lot in terms of management of public infrastructure and management of large, complex construction projects, very expensive ones in some cases. And they have a proud record of serving people well, albeit sometimes it's an expensive process to clean up a river or to remodel a water system, two things that they've been working on lately. So I'm really looking forward to that discussion. I want to also go back to your charge itself and ask you not just a rhetorical question, but as you have this conversation with us this afternoon, how do you feel about that charge, and do you feel that your recommendations have embraced it? I hope so. And then where might we dig deeper than you have so far? And then what else would you recommend to us in terms of, in addition to making sure that this discussion happens and that your report is received and publicized, what else can we do to communicate with the larger public about the work you've done and about the issues that now remain in front of these bureaus? So those questions about your charge itself and how do we communicate your work and the situation of these bureaus to the community, I think are a couple things that I'm interested in further work with you and further discussion about. I also want to thank our financial staff, Andrew Scott and Claudio Campuzano and Jonas Beery and others who have helped support your work. They've had a few other things to do while you've been working with them, but as usual, they've managed this additional task well, and I appreciate that. So with that, thank you, and Chair Holton, we look forward to hearing your report and your recommendations to us.
Thank you, Mayor, and Commissioner Card, and other members of the council. And I speak for all of us in saying
that we appreciate your time and also your flexibility in figuring out how we set this up, because it was really important. We've worked as a team, and we very much wanted to be able to present and discuss with you as a team today. Neither snow nor heat nor rain nor gloom of night stays these commissioners from their appointed rounds. We're really glad to be here today, and we're glad that we were able to go forward as planned. It bears noting that I'm sure that David and the BES folks have people out dealing with emergencies right now, so our job is relatively easy, and we appreciate it. I appreciate the commitment and time of all of the players here at the table, of the folks on the Blue Ribbon Commission. Several could not be with us today for one case, a pre-existing commitment. But 201, these folks have come to the table with insights and thoughtfulness. And it's remarkable when you get a room of people who have no stake in the outcome of a public policy problem except for a good solution, how much great dialogue and thought you can get. And I very much appreciate it and have really enjoyed getting to know these folks and this issue. I want to thank also the people who have met with us from the public, some of whom are here today, and who have offered public input. I've seen some of them and spoken with some of them. We've been trying to move with alacrity so that you can get to work and make changes that need to be made. The public folks have the public interest folks have kept up with us and turned around on short notice, frankly, with written recommendations so that they can edit and offer their insights, and they've been really invaluable. And at the very beginning of the process, I said, look, the one thing I asked from both public folks as well as City Hall staff and everyone else is that we maintain civility throughout this. And 201, they have maintained and respected that, with one slight exception I'm working on right now. But I've been really impressed with that. Even the most vociferous critics of the Bureau have respected that request, and I appreciate it. Jonas and Andrew and the City Attorney's Office and Claudio and Ryan and Sonia and Jim have all been very helpful, as have the folks of the agency staff. We very much appreciate it. And, of course, Jim and Bob and Alicia from Kogan Owens Cohen have been tireless and patient in dealing with us. Jim will summarize the process in a moment. A few words about some of the effort. We have digested an enormous amount of material. You know, this is the first installation. We've had supplements to it. And I've been incredibly impressed with the capacity of this group to take on that information. We have tried to do this with speeds, as I said, so you can get to work on your part of this deal. And so you can implement changes quickly so that we can take advantage of them in the next budget cycle. And we have been trying to thread the needle between substantive change and not crossing the line into charter amendment territory so that you could do it quickly and to honor the request of both the mayor and the commissioner in charge at our first meeting. And then lastly, I think we've been trying to strike the appropriate balance, which we'll talk about more, between accountability and professional independent decision making. Both have a role, an important role in the ultimate outcome, and that's what we've been looking for. The mayor and commissioner in charge asked me to talk about why we're here today and where we are in the process. Our decision was we have a draft that we haven't voted on or otherwise adopted, but rather it's been an evolving draft involving input from us at meetings and through email as it evolves into a document. We thought this was an appropriate time to do a work session with you to hear your input, to hear if there are questions that we can answer or things that simply aren't practical that we've laid out there or that you want to ask questions about, so that when we bring you a product, it's not one that's a non-starter from the beginning. And then after this, we intend to have another public listening session and to have an opportunity to consider changes in light of what we hear at the next public listening session, because frankly, we thought the last stop in this process ought to be the public before we come to you. So that's our game plan. I don't want to overstate the importance of the document you have in front of you. It's not written in stone. At the same time, it reflects input from many of us along the way, or all of us, I should say, along the way, and I think gives you a pretty good sense of where we're headed with some important questions still outstanding. Jim, do you want to describe the process more broadly? Christine, sorry.
Well, I just wanted to thank everyone.
Thank you for microphone.
Thank you for convening this Blue Ribbon Commission, Commissioner Fish and Mayor Hales. The variety, diverse background, everyone around the room, I think we did quite well. We've covered everything. We heard from experts, policy folks, and as Dwight said, the excellent support from all the staff and the bureau heads was quite exceptional in helping us to come up with this draft report. Thank you.
And I should note that Christine stepped in as co-chair after we had a change in membership, and we've had a ton of fun working together, frankly. So I did not know my esteemed co-chair before, our vice chair before we got started here, and I'm really delighted to have the opportunity. I thank you for that, too.
Mr. Halton, I find that hard to believe because the two of you are just far too important not to have met each other at some point.
It's truth hurts sometimes. Larry, do you want to start us off on a quick introduction?
Is Jim going to do
that? I'll follow you.
Oh, okay. Just me or everybody?
Everybody.
Just you. Just kidding.
Well, I appreciate being on this. This has been a real education for me, and it's a nice way to provide service to the city, so I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. I guess you asked what did we learn. I had a lot to learn, so there was a lot, but I think the first thing I learned about was the complexity of this enormous system that we have here, and people seldom think about what's behind the system when you actually put on the faucet and the water comes out. And it's just enormous complexity, and it's in a sense a public health miracle that we can do what we do with this on such a consistent basis in terms of providing such high quality service. The second thing I learned is that there's always trade-offs in these things. And these trade-offs are very difficult to get our heads around and understand. And once we do, then of course there's the issue of how do others in the broader community understand these trade-offs, who might not have had as much opportunity to think about the complexity of this thing. The third thing that I really was struck by were, and you said a little bit of this in the beginning, the enormous accomplishments that people from around the world look at what we're doing at in Portland, the awards that have been won, the big contracts that have come in on time or ahead of time and on budget or a little bit under budget. But there's problems, and we also recognize the third thing was that there's room to improve. And I think we've done a really sort of excellent job, given that we all came together for the first time, identifying what some of those basic principles were for building on, for remedying problems, but also building on successes, and to figure out the trade-offs that we're willing to make in order to put forth these recommendations to you. And again, I want to echo that these are not the final recommendations, but these do represent, I think, an enormous amount of discussion that we've had, review of materials, the input of the community, and so far it's sort of the best estimate of what we're going to come up with, but it's not the final product.
Larry Wallach, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to participate in this effort. I've, for the last 43 years, I've had a close association with the city in one way or another. I manage a similarly scoped organization and so have some appreciation for the challenges these organizations face. And I think the most significant challenge in this process, from my perspective, was balancing the need and desire for increased transparency and accountability with the need to also preserve and not do injury to the form of government that Portland has selected, which is a commissioner form of government. We didn't want to erode, you know, that system in our efforts, and hopefully we've struck a reasonable balance in that regard. And at least that was our ambition and goal. But that's about it. Thanks.
Hey, Bill, for the record, could you introduce yourself and your position?
I'm the general manager of Clean Water Services, Bill Gaffey, and we serve about 550,000 people west of Portland. Surface water management, wastewater management, stream restoration. We own about a quarter of the stored water in the Tualatin Basin and restore stream flows and stream habitats. So we have a similar charge to these organizations.
And I should say, my name is Lawrence Wallach. I am a professor in the College of Urban and Public Affairs at Portland State University. And as such, I have to leave about 3:45 to teach for the greater good over there.
Janice Thompson, Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. It's been a very good experience. I think what this, you know, document in its current form that we're going to be, after input from this session and another round of hearing, finalizing and sending back to you, however, really emphasizes for me the importance of getting things right on paper, but that we need to do much more than getting it right on paper. And I think one of the strengths of this document is really trying to take a look at really tangible ways with measurable outcomes about new accountability practices, particularly by your group. I mean, you may recall that I testified just solely with my Citizens Utility Board of Oregon hat on back in May before the rate hearing and kind of highlighted that, you know, I think I had that number, 5 and all the employees, and, you know, the buck stops with U5, and I think we've strengthened, and there's been some continued work just today that I think will help this group, you know, continue to nail down that, you know, what's on paper is as strong as possible in terms of the structural things, but also really highlights new and more collegial ways to make sure that you and others interact with a new oversight group. Because, you know, and one of the things I think we learned is that on paper, the current oversight structures don't look too bad, but they haven't been working. So it's more than just what's on paper, I think is an interesting point. And I'll leave it at that for now. You can just tell me if this other stuff fits in at some point.
Before we get to Chris, I wanted to read a statement from Barbara Bird, who could not be here today, but who offered this. She did not know that she'd be asked an interesting question, so it doesn't respond. It's not responsive there, but it's a lovely statement, an important statement, rather. I'm sorry I cannot be with you in person today. I believe that the Blue Ribbon Commission has made considerable progress in its work. I know we all look forward to your responses to our recommendations. I want to affirm a couple of points made in the document and stress one additional consideration. First, I believe the BRC is correct in finding that, for the most part, the two bureaus are well-run, the workforce is skilled and knowledgeable, and the public is, in general, satisfied with their performance. By proposing an advisory body with greater opportunities for interaction with bureau leadership, the City Council, and the mayor, and with dedicated technical staff, the BRC has attempted to address the need for transparency in the budget and rate-setting process without overreacting to exaggerated charges of mismanagement or mistrust. An important consideration from my perspective is the makeup of the Public Utility Board. Unless it is truly a balanced body representing not only needed technical expertise, including the workforce of the two bureaus, but also broader community interest, it will be unable to operate in a transparent, accountable, and responsive manner over a sustained period of time. While wanting to avoid designated slots on the body, slots in quotation marks, the BRC recognizes that the pub should reflect the city whose interests it seeks to represent. I believe that the public, defined in terms that include socioeconomic status, ought to be represented directly by the pub membership. Thank you for the opportunity to serve this important endeavor and with this knowledgeable group of individuals.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Little. I'm a manager of regulatory affairs at PGE and was also the chair of a research committee at the City Club of Portland looking specifically at the issues we're actually dealing with right now. With just sticking to the ask in terms of what we've learned, I guess I continue to marvel at the complexity of the work that the two bureaus do and have learned quite a bit through the process about where the operations meet the politics. So I look forward to having a discussion about the report as it stands now.
My name is Kendra Smith, and I work for the Bonneville Environmental Foundation, and I'm a restoration ecologist. I appreciated the opportunity to serve on this commission. It was, believe it or not, for those water geeks, kind of fun. So I appreciate that. And I do agree with the observations made by the other commissioners. As far as what I learned, it struck me. I did not realize what a significant percentage of our bills go to debt service. And I felt like that was a real important point, that we all contribute to both the past and the future of our infrastructure, and that our bills reflect that. And as I was out in the community and chatting with folks about that, a lot of people also didn't realize that it's more than half your bill is debt service. I'd also just like to say that, you know, the staff in your bureaus are doing amazing work to protect our water and the environment. And I hope that this process and the recommendations that we've put forth will help them continue those really important efforts.
Hi, Marion Haynes with the Portland Business Alliance. Thank you for the opportunity to serve on this commission. Our group had taken a look at the Water and Sewer Bureaus and, of course, didn't support the measure that was most recently on the ballot, but did think that some changes were warranted. And I think one of the things that was a very pleasant surprise going through this process is getting a better understanding of all of the changes that you have made, Mayor and Commissioner, since taking over these bureaus and trying to get some reforms already in place in advance of this discussion. So much appreciated there. Thanks.
I'll just add one thing. It was kind of my name is Bob Wise with Cogan Owens Cogan, and thank you for the honor to work on this project. I want to just say one big picture thing. We have a tremendous strategic advantage of having the water system that we have. in terms of the global impacts, climate change, and so forth. This is a primary asset of this region. And so I've always approached this as such a very serious and important endeavor because of that.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Owens. I'm principal at Cogan Owens Cogan. And along with Bob, I've had the honor of facilitating this group. I'd say it was less of a facilitation exercise than it was of a scribe of their wisdom, because as both the mayor and Commissioner Fish have indicated, and Dwight affirmed, it's been an incredible group of folks to work with. And I'm always surprised working with citizen groups in Portland as to the level of commitment that they make of their time and energies, and this has been a prime example of that. One of the best I've ever seen in my long tenure with the city. And they've been very diligent in their studies. They actually read the materials in this binder. And this is really only about half the materials they were provided. And they've been open in their thinking and very practically minded and respectful of the sideboards that you set at the beginning of this process. And at the same time, my perspective is they've, to a person, been committed to meaningful change. I'm going to, in the interest of having as much time as possible for discussion, I'm going to very quickly run through the process. We've provided you with a one-page, two-sided summary of who's on this group. We had 9 meetings since mid-July, meeting almost every week. Okay. We had 2 public listening sessions, and we've listed on the back of this page who testified at those public listening sessions. Great testimony, helped inform the product. And as Dwight indicated, we're very appreciative of the support we've gotten from city staff and others. We had a number of presentations through the process that helped set the base for our deliberations. And then I'll tell you, it's been a challenging assignment because of the compressed time frame and the technical nature of things. It really created a challenge in terms of turning around draft documents and giving this group time to review them. But they've done that late at night, and I really appreciate the time each of them has put in. In terms of our document itself, and I'm going to let Dwight and Christine walk through the specifics of it. It really has 2 major features to it, has a set of goals and key considerations. That was the basis for the recommendations we put forward today. And then the second piece are the recommendations themselves. And I think I'll stop there and turn it over to Dwight. Again, Commissioner Fish and Mayor Hills, you put together an incredible group of volunteers to work with. Thank you for the privilege.
So I'll the way Christine and I have divided this, I'll kind of lay out some of the principles that struck us and that we were trying to meet, and Christine will walk you through the specifics of the recommendations. We're happy to be interrupted at any time if that's helpful.
Just for clarification, Commissioner Fish, do you want us to wait till the end for council comments?
I think it's the chair's preference for this to be interactive.
We are happy, but if we'd love to hear from you.
So as we go
along. So I didn't know if you wanted. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you as we go along at any time to answer questions. Yeah, no, we're not programmed. trust me, nothing we've done has been programmed. I think it's fair to say. so again, you know, there's no more important function the city has, I don't think. They're equally important, I would say, but no more important function the city has than delivering clean water and managing stormwater, wastewater safely. The health of the and survival of we, the citizens, and the ecosystem depend on it. So we're all honored to be here. Our recommendations reflect fundamentally the conclusion that the people of the Portland ratepayers and the city itself will be better served by a significantly strengthened system of oversight. While much of the debate and criticism of the bureaus comes from challenges over meeting unfunded federal mandates, frankly, there are challenges. Some of them have been here at City Hall, as a matter of fact. But we think that a strengthened system of oversight and accountability can address those. Accountability was a central objective of our work, and I came to think of accountability in a couple of different layers. The bureaus to the PERB and commissioner in charge, and the bureaus, PERB, and commissioner in charge to the council, and the council and the bureaus, commissioner in charge, oversight board, whatever you call it, city council and city council to the people, to the ratepayers and the broader citizens who benefit from the water system. So we have tried to ensure accountability mainly by figuring out how we can better shed light on important decisions made by the bureaus to invite more scrutiny of those decisions, to which we think will bring better decisions. And frankly, it's a heart of the Portland way, if you will. We wanted to recognize and are explicit in our recommendation, in our recommendations, in noting that innovation has been a central part of the success of the bureaus. It has achieved them national recognition, and appropriately so. And we intend that our recommendations embrace innovation and understand that innovation means risk and failure, frankly, right? If innovation was always easy and always worked, then everyone would always do it. But it doesn't. It involves failure as well. And our recommendations are intended to create an oversight structure that can recognize and embrace that innovation. Examples include the emphasis on green infrastructure as a real national leader. The bureaus have been served as a real national leader, and we want to make sure that we do nothing to undermine that. Likewise, we wanted to make sure that we were crafting a solution that matched a problem as opposed to a perception. So we've been very mindful of that. Larry and Christine have been very good taskmasters on keeping us focused on that as part of our effort. And then two other things I think we learned that are important. An early presentation by CUB, by Janice, helped me and I think some of the other commissioners understand that the way the PERB at least is functioning currently, it shows up in the kitchen so late that basically all the ingredients are in the bowl. And all that's left to do on setting rates or on proposing rates, I should say, is math. You know, if you're not there when the CIP is being drafted, if you're not there when budget and management decisions are being made in advisory capacity, then by the time you get to the rate setting question, it's just a matter of figuring out what the math is to do the things that have already been decided. So it's been very important in this process that we figure out an oversight structure that can have a role earlier on to help figure out what goes in the bowl, not just what temperature to cook it at. And now I've beaten that metaphor deeply into the ground. last but not least, we had a very, for me, very important and eye-opening moment in hearing from Jonas Beery regarding the rate, how the debt community rates our bond status for the bureaus. And in particular, two factors hit home with me. One is the willingness to undertake necessary infrastructure improvements, and two, the willingness to raise rates as necessary in order to undertake those necessary infrastructure improvements. This presents a real careful balance that we hope the oversight structure will walk. If you are completely insensitive to public opinion and public capacity for rate increases and you increase rates beyond their tolerance, they will rebel and you will lose both the ability to raise rates and the ability to make necessary infrastructure, and you'll go into a downward spiral as you lose your bond rating. On the other hand, if you are overly sensitive to public opinion and public you're overly sensitive to political considerations, I should say, then you might refuse to undertake necessary improvements and refuse to raise rates initially, and again, you go into a downward spiral. So that balance is of paramount importance, and we hope we have reached it in the recommendations we've made. Christine?
Thank you, Dwight. I have to say that it's been a pleasure working with Dwight. And Mayor Hales, you've made an excellent decision in appointing Dwight as chair. I will go through some of the recommendations, the key points. That's referenced on pages 4 and 5 in the executive summary and pages 15 to 21 in the full report. The underpinnings of our recommendations: 1, a new Portland utility board called PUB to replace the existing PURB and BACS for the two utility bureaus with mission to ensure transparency, accountability, public participation, and oversight in utility system visioning and financial decision-making processes for the Portland Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services. 2, the PUB meets on a regular year-round basis with members serving in a volunteered unpaid status. 3, is officially integrated into the CIP and budget development. Partner with the bureaus and commissioner in charge. Acknowledged as a trusted advisor by the mayor and city council. And 5, city council, it is served by dedicated senior level staff. And the city council should institutionalize the assignment of both the Water Bureau and BES to a single commissioner in charge.
That's where you lost me on your recommendations. I just want to put that marker.
We didn't say which commissioner.
So we're going to talk about that later, right? We're going to talk about each of these things in depth later.
Okay. A brief rationale for the PUB as a new oversight utility. As noted in our key considerations, we believe that it is important, in fact, essential to start anew. We believe that reconstituting the PURB would seem to do little to respond to the Blue Ribbon Commission's goals for oversight reform, particularly the goal of improving public confidence. PURB has not been fully effective and had suffered from lack of support by City Council. BACs advising the two bureaus have not been fully integrated into the budget development process and have no substantive role once the bureau's budgets have been transmitted to the commissioner in charge. Ineffectiveness of BURB and the BACs cannot be traced to the dedicated volunteers who have served these bodies. Combination of structural factors, such as the lack of independent staff and inconsistent support from City Council, have been key factors. Combining the budget review functions of the PURB and BACs into a single year-round entity will provide stronger and more consistent oversight involvement and is linked to the recommendation that both bureaus be assigned to a single commissioner in charge. Integration of the water and sewer oversight functions recognizes the overlap with the two bureaus' cultures and encourages shared analytics. Bureau-specific BAC functions could be continued through member assignments or subcommittees of the new oversight entity. Roles and responsibilities of the PURB. A highly visible, influential role in rate setting and budget development will likely be critical in recruiting quality PUB members. Authorize PUB to have an expanded role in the Water Bureau and BES planning and budgeting processes, and formal interaction with the commission in charge, mayor, and city council during budget development and adoption. PUB should be provided a significant role in crafting the Water Bureau and BES budgets, setting the chalk line, without usurping the roles of the commission in charge and mayor afforded by the commission form of government. That was also a very fine line we had to watch. Variety of potential touch points that Dwight has mentioned are with the bureaus during development of their requested budgets, with the commission in charge following submittal by the bureaus of their requested budgets and prior to the commissioner submitting requested budgets to the mayor, as invited parties to utility rate presentations and city council work sessions that occur following submittal of requested budgets, with the mayor as part of development and release of the mayor's budget, as invited parties to utility rate review hearing before the City Council and as invited parties to the City Council budget adoption process. Pub representation. Rather than identifying special interests to be represented on the pub, we recommend that there be balanced representation reflected of practitioners, advocates, and community at large. The group should not be dominated by technical experts. Appoint members with technical knowledge of water, stormwater, and sewer utility operation and issues, including financial and capital improvement analysis expertise, current employment in a representative bargaining unit with the Water Bureau and BES, knowledge and expertise in engineering, ecosystem science, political process, group process, and communications. Pub staffing. Independent, dedicated staffing of the new oversight entity is a critical element of the Blue Ribbon Commission's recommendations. The pub should not be understaffed. Minimum of 2 full-time senior-level staff dedicated to the pub and housed in, selected and administratively managed by the City Budget Office with support from other bureaus as needed. Experienced and skilled in financial analysis, utilities, and government operations. Should be new CBO positions rather than staff as reassignments. Housed in the CBO and selected and managed by the CBO director. CBO is recommended because of its history in managing the former utility review team and because the office is charged with independently serving the entire city council rather than any single commissioner. Based upon our conversations with Andrew Scott, staffing and other pub costs should be funded through intergovernmental agencies between the CBO and the Water Bureau and BES, with the CBO overhead billed to the bureaus on a cost basis. Practices. Now, these are just highlights of the full report. The tone of commitment that City Council displays in implementing these recommendations is critical to the success of this new approach to the oversight, utility oversight. City Council should adopt specific procedures that establish new standards of practice and send a clear message to any new oversight entity that City Council will welcome it as a critical partner in utility budget development. Pub will be accorded a place at the table during each phase of budget development. City Council's interaction with and responses to the group's recommendations will go beyond the performer. In general, there should be a consultative partnership between Pub and the commissioner in charge, mayor, and City Council. This standard of practice should be extended to the city auditor so the new organization has the opportunity to learn from audit reports and comment on them. Some miscellaneous recommendations. Cub's role as an independent outside voice advocating for residential customers should be continued. Codify the May 2014 direction by Commissioner Fish that any utility bureau projects over $500,000 require City Council approval as regular agenda versus consent agenda items, with opportunities for City Council discussion and public testimony. Institutionalize the conduct of public rate review hearings, first initiated during the 2013 budget process. Based on our consultation with the Bureau and the Mayor's Office, we believe that solid waste collection rate setting should be assigned to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Implementation and monitoring. To be responsive to the Blue Ribbon Commission process and public input, the pub should be
a little closer.
Okay. The pub should be established as quickly as possible so that it can be operational prior to the 2015-16 budget cycle. To ensure that this is all working, convene a review body in no sooner than 2 years and no longer than 5 years for the purpose of evaluating the effectiveness of the proposed oversight program. Broadly share the results of this review and adjust accordingly. Questions?
Jim, did you want
to? Yeah, thank you, Christine. So we have a large set of recommendations in front of you, and they're all interconnected to each other. I think perhaps the hardest decision we had to make was to find a name, and we've chosen Pub, and hope you support that.
That sounds great. I'm going to go to the Pub, dear. Don't worry about it.
I think from Bob and my perspective, there's probably four key things that are the drivers here. One is that we create a new entity, as has been talked about. Secondly, is that this new entity is officially integrated into your budget process at every opportunity. Third, and really this is very critical and a differentiation from the PERB, is that it has its own dedicated staff. And then lastly, that there be a process of regularly checking in to make sure this is working, and if not, adjust accordingly.
Is this time for questions from this side?
With your leave, I didn't know if there was anything anybody wanted to add yet, but we'll have questions. Larry?
I think it was Chris before who said we can, maybe it was Janice who said we can write everything down, but that doesn't mean it's going to be implemented. And I think the last thing that Jim just said is very important. Quite honestly, there was some skepticism about even doing the best we can, it's still dependent upon, as was said in the beginning, the mayor and the city commissioners responding in the spirit of what was written, because there's always different ways to interpret what is written. So Jim's point about the review and Christine pointing out 2 to 5 years, this has to be a review that has some significant requirements behind it and clear criteria, because that's one part of the process that can't be controlled in print. And I think we shared that concern on the commission, I think. So I just wanted to reemphasize that point.
So maybe if we can put some questions on the table first and then maybe go to more general comments.
Let me kick it off if I could. Mr. Chairman, you've recommended an 11-person panel, permanent panel, and I can see arguments for potentially a smaller group just in terms of keeping everyone up to speed. You know from your experience in this commission that the challenges of larger groups and making sure there's good information flow and everyone has a chance to fully participate. How did you settle on 11, and is there an argument for potentially going a little smaller?
So our recommendation in the current draft is that it be a maximum of 11. And the interests we were trying to balance, I think, were making sure that you could be svelte enough to move and be involved in all of the activities you need to be involved of. At the same time, being large enough to take on the role, the significant role described for not just one but two bureaus, and frankly, two of the bureaus with two of the biggest budgets in the city. But we did intend to provide flexibility in our recommendations by recommending it as a maximum of 11 as opposed to a set number of 11. And Brian Stahl, who's not here from the Gresham Water System, had kind of teased out how you might divide a group so that you had a couple of people who were assigned to watch the budget whose specialty was assigned to watch the budget at BES, a couple over at the Water Bureau. And I think it was thinking about that and some degree of staggering of terms that got us to 11. But again, we recommend it as a maximum, not a set number. And does anybody else want to weigh in? Bill?
No, that's consistent with my memory.
So perhaps we can open up this particular question of the number, the composition, and the appointment process. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I think it might be interesting to ask the Planning and Sustainability Commission, since they went from 9 to 11. The challenge, of course, is that there's so many stakeholders. You know, everybody drinks water, everybody goes to the bathroom, and everybody cares about the environment. So in order to be able to you don't have stakeholder groups, although you do have some interests listed. I would suggest that some actually, I have a question before I get to that. Was there any discussion of equity in the group?
Yes. We heard from a couple of different groups about that. And does this reflect the amended version? We actually added some language about that this morning.
Yeah, so we have incorporated some equity language in our key considerations.
And in the membership section in particular, which a couple of the commissioners had worked on in some depth, including Barbara, who's not here, the notion of representing, but her statement reflects it, the notion of representing the city, including socioeconomic status, et cetera, and other criteria is contained in the recommendations and meant to embrace the concept of equity.
Okay, great. I think, you know, along with all of our other bureaus, we're Water and Environmental Services are still addressing what does that mean for our bureau. In addition to having independent analysts in the budget office, I would suggest that each bureau should be looking at equity managers, because it's really, since a lot of the money that the city spends is in contracts in BES and the Water Bureau, we're talking about who gets those contracts, who is processing those contracts, who is getting the services for those contracts, and there's a lot of issues that I would want this board to be aware of. And it's not only about having folks of low income and people of color on the commission, it's about what is their charge. So I would suggest that is one issue to be added. In representation, I didn't see environmental protection as one of the called out values, ecosystem science, but in both, you know, obviously environmental services is environmental as well as services, and there's a lot of Clean Water Act compliance, Endangered Species Act compliance, Bull Run protection. There's a lot of protection, environmental protection in the work of the bureaus, as well as how do we build the pipes that either take the stuff we want or take away the stuff we don't want. And then the third value, which you're kind of getting at a group process and communications, but community engagement, that I'd like to see a discussion and in the final recommendation, an expectation that this board, this commission will hold regular public, obviously the meetings will be public, but that the board will be expected to take public testimony on a regular basis, and that meetings will be held at times and places convenient to folks, so that it's not only at budget time. And we've got various structures for this throughout the city, in budget advisory committees, in bureau advisory committees. Very happy to see your recommendation for this as a year-round bureau advisory committee, which, you know, some of the bureaus, the bureau advisory committee is much more than 11, so I'm not personally worried about that particular piece. But making sure that there is that expectation, so that when people sign up to apply to be on this, mine's doing it too, when people sign up to be on this commission, they know that it's not, oh, you're going to go to the rate review hearing and expect to have public input. There is going to be, on a monthly basis, opportunity for discussion, not just, you know, like we do at the council, it's not just the 5 3-minutes of citizen communications, but back and forth on many of the issues.
And I will note that we specifically contemplate in the recommendations, or recommend in the recommendations, that this board be authorized to conduct public hearings in a way that has really not been a perb power.
Yes, I agree. But authorized and expected are two different things. And I'm finding that with some of the groups that I'm involved in, that volunteers may say, well, I didn't sign up to listen to hours and hours of community testimony, and I want to make sure that, in my view, and I think the mayor's, our citizen commissions work when they can do 90% of the storming and norming of a particular proposal and it comes to council for the last 10% of the major policy choices, that works better than having multiple council hearings at which everybody gets their 3 minutes and there isn't then the citizen review committee that can package it for us.
That's exactly what we contemplate, and I'll take the blame for that, because I think I changed the word is expected to will or something like that, because I hate the passive voice. But we will embrace that. Thank you.
That's great. I may be working off an old draft, so if so, please correct me. Under the appointment, it said by City Council based on the recommendation from the mayor. I know it says that in the code, but in practice, it's the commissioner of charge who recommends to the mayor, who then recommends to the council. And I think that that's the appropriate structure, both for appointing and for removing people from this commission. Under our commission form of government, the commissioner in charge is the one who knows on a day-to-day basis what's working, what's not. And again, it's more transparent to say that rather than to imply that this commission is somehow different from all the other appointments, which, yes, they're funneled through the mayor and the Office of Management and Finance, but they're really more the commissioner in charge making the recommendation.
very helpful. We struggled with how to articulate the current system best. That's what we meant to mimic.
I think those are my only comments on the commission itself.
Let me jump in and pose a couple things. You have at least partially sussed out the question of what do we have to do to implement this particular item. In some cases, it's intergovernmental agreements. In other cases, it's ordinance. In other cases, it's charter change, right? So you've at least in part teased that out. Tell me about a couple of these that I'm particularly curious about along those lines. One is it's kind of a bigger one. One's kind of a smaller one. The bigger one is I like the practice, sorry, Commissioner, of the institutionalization of having the two bureaus reporting to a single commissioner. How would you suggest we enshrine that? Are you suggesting that we put that in the charter? Or maybe you haven't landed on that question yet. And a smaller one, and there may be others like this, so I guess I'd like to hear you elaborate a little bit on these where there are some implementing questions maybe. Having the pub formally in the chain of response to bureau audits. Right now the commissioner in charge responds, and the bureau responds when there's an audit, but it's recommending that the pub be in that chain. I like that recommendation as well. I assume we have to change at least code in order to do that. In other words, there's some of these that we could say, thank you, great recommendation, we're doing it, and proceed informally. There are others, and that's one of the options, I suppose. But there are others, like this one involving the auditor, where we might have to make a change in code or charter.
Well, Mayor, can I follow up on that and pose the question to the chairman? Currently, the audit process is the auditor's process. So her office presents a draft audit to the commissioner in charge of the bureau at that time. The commissioner may not have actually been the commissioner in charge at the time that the relevant audit occurred, but if the current commissioner in charge is presented with it, there's a chance for the director to put in a letter. There's an opportunity for the commissioner in charge, and that is at the invitation of the auditor. So what specific, to take the mayor's question, what specific role do you want this pub to have with respect to an audit, and are you suggesting formally that this body have a chance to put in a written response that becomes a part of the official audit?
Janice, you want to take that?
Yeah, please. That was my question.
Well, I think this is a good example of some feedback from you that we're going to be able to bring back to fine-tune this point. This is an idea that I, in particular, was interested in, and how I was seeing it playing out, and I don't think these ideas are potentially mutually exclusive, but how I was seeing it play out is wanting to give this new oversight group real jobs. I mean, that's how you kind of get ownership. It's like you ask them to do something. And I was seeing it, or one scenario how it could play out is an audit comes, either specifically focused on these two bureaus or a more general audit that has implications for these two bureaus. The commissioner in charge specifically uses this new oversight group as part of reviewing and implementing and like using the information from the audit. That's kind of how I was seeing it play out. Like I say, that's not mutually exclusive by how it kind of got written up here with, but I think the reason I was thinking it along how what I just described is I'm aware that it's the auditor's process. So.
So you weren't thinking before the audit came out, but rather after the audit came out?
Well, I'm open.
I think the former would require the consent of the auditor and might require a charter change. I think the latter is something that the council could do by rule. We could adopt by practice. And the challenge in the former is the auditor has very specific timelines for comments. The document that the auditor issues is an embargoed draft that only goes to the commissioner in charge and the director and is not publicly released until it's released to the press with an embargo. So one way to cure those challenges is certainly to bring the body in after it's issued. The question of what role it could have before that would, I think, necessitate a discussion with the auditor.
Yeah. So, I like the idea of